Good morning, everyone. I would like to welcome you to the February 23rd meeting of the Steuben County Legislature. And we will start by asking the clerk to call the roll.
Mr. Eberlin?
Here.
Ms. Fitzpatrick?
Here.
Mr. Hanna?
Here.
Mr. Horton?
Here.
Mrs. Lando? Mrs. Logsdon?
Here.
Mr. Nichols?
Here.
Mr. Pelham?
Here.
Mr. Potter?
Here.
Mr. Hsu? Ms. Shannon?
Here.
Mr. Thu?
Here.
Mr. Tobia?
Here.
Mr. Van Castle? Mr. Vanetten?
Here.
Mr. Valino?
Here.
Mr. Warner?
Here.
All right. I will ask everyone to please stand. We'll ask Legislator Nichols to lead us in the invocation and Legislator Van Etten to lead us in the pledge.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this nation that we have. We pray for our service personnel as a possibility of another conflict develops and the safety of them across the world and in this nation. We thank you for the government we have, that people can voice their opinions without fear. And we thank you for this legislature and our county that we have. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. Yes, we are going on to certificates of appreciation.
Well, Mr. Sorrow.
Morning, everybody.
Good morning, sir.
On behalf of the Steuben County Legislature, we want to thank you and tell you how much we appreciate your 10 years of service to Steuben County. Thank you so much.
Thank you. If they can just cut my head out of that.
Ashley Swan.
Good morning. Nice meetings. Oh, thank you. On behalf of the Steuben County Legislature, we want to thank you and tell you how much we appreciate your 15 years of service to Steuben County. Thank you so much.
William Benedict.
Wow. We keep upping the ante. Do you put these in order of years? No. Good morning.
Good morning.
On behalf of the Steuben County Legislature, we want to thank you and tell you how much we appreciate your 20 years of service with Steuben County. Thank you so much.
Bryce Sebring.
Morning.
Morning.
On behalf of the Steuben County Legislature, we want to thank you and tell you how much we appreciate your 20 years of service to Steuben County. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Timothy Jackson.
Good morning.
Good morning.
On behalf of the Steuben County Legislature, we want to thank you and tell you how much we appreciate your 10 years of service to Steuben County.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
We do have a few that could not be here today. Lori Beebe, probation, 15 years. Bridie Kubiak, probation, 25 years. Stacy Hill, probation, 20 years. Amanda Miller, Social Services, 15 years. Kyle Sullivan, Public Works, 20 years. Paula Borden, County Clerk, 10 years. Two from the Sheriff's Department, Robert Crandall, 20 years. Kevin Ames, 15 years. And Brooks Baker from the DA's office, 15 years.
Yay.
All right, we'll continue on, and we're going to comment by members of the public. We will call your name and have you come up to the podium. When you get there, please repeat your name, where you're from, and each person will get 3 minutes to speak.
Wayne Wells.
Wayne is very familiar with the drill. But we have several speakers, Mr. Wells, so I will be timing it for 3 minutes.
Good morning. My name is Wayne Wells from Cameron. I take no pleasure in my long ago ignored warnings regarding a Trump presidency. If he is not a pedophile himself, a big if, he has become a pedophile protector who is also building and constructing a paramilitary out of the Immigration, Customs, and Enforcement Service, with the express purpose of citizen intimidation. The Gestapo-like tactics of ICE are a stark message from the Trump that his decrees and actions of he and his agents are above any laws, and we the people must be compliant toward a rising MAGA dictatorship. If ICE can shoot an unarmed prone man in the back with impunity and the victim be accused by the Trump administration as a domestic terrorist before any investigation, then no one is safe. In a conversation with one of your constituents regarding ICE murders in Minneapolis, this person's attempt to justify ICE actions was to blame protesters for, and I quote, protecting murderers and rapists. Yet this person and many others appeared to be blinded by Trump's protection of wealthy elites who rape children. This travesty of justice and lack of transparency regarding the Epstein files is exasperated by the voting record of Congressman Nick Langworthy that can only be characterized as moral cowardice in service of evil. As Trump moves us closer to a Russian-styled authoritarian government, it is well to remember that obedience based on fear will be the default method of Trump's governance. Unfortunately, we have individuals in the military and police communities who will be sympathetic to authoritarian rule. A society wishing to remain free and just under rule of law must prophylactically wall off the infectious influence of ICE paramilitary from our own well-functioning police, beholden to our citizens' well-being. Thank you.
Perfect timing. Thank you.
Barbara Burdick.
Good morning.
Morning. Hi, I'm Barbara Burdick. I go by Birdie. I'm a resident of Hornell. I am a former resident of Corning. Oh, good. I can't see. I left the house this morning without my bifocals. I'm a hardcore introvert. It says something that I'm here addressing all of you. I do so because, in the words of Martin Luther King Jr., injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. First, I'd like to state that I understand that the stated purpose of Steuben County's 287G agreement with Immigration and Customs Enforcement is to temporarily house people reasonably suspected of having committed crimes, immigrants that are suspected of having committed crimes. And that according to Sheriff Allard, no such individuals have as yet been housed at the Steuben County Jail. Please let me make it clear that absolutely no one is against the detainment, arrest, and removal of immigrants who have actually committed serious or violent crimes. Absolutely no one. The reality is that everyday people just trying to live their lives have been characterized by ICE as criminals. The construction worker, the gardener or agriculture worker, someone's abuela. People who are citizens, legal residents, also known as green card holders, people with visas, and people legally seeking asylum. Anyone, it seems, with the wrong skin tone, an accent, or speaking a language other than English. In communities with large-scale ICE operations, people have been taken from courthouses, which shows that they're there for routine immigration check-ins. That shows it's not about legal status. They're taken from job sites, which shows it's not about lazy people taking up resources. Hospitals aren't safe, neither are drop-off lines at elementary schools. A common argument I hear is that if you aren't illegal, you have nothing to worry about. And that couldn't be farther from the truth. And Minneapolis citizens, including an infant, were tear gassed when traveling home after a school athletic event.
Thank you, Barb. That's your 3 minutes. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Bill Mattingly.
Good morning, Bill. I'll set the timer when you start.
Good morning, Chair Fitzpatrick and members of Steuben County Legislature. My name is Bill Mattingly. I live in Irwin. I'm here to urge you to terminate both 287 agreements between Steuben County Sheriff's Office and ICE. The Trump administration has amply demonstrated contempt for the law, contempt for our courts, and intent to turn our democracy into an authoritarian regime. In a move ripped straight out of the dictator's playbook, the Trump administration is, quote unquote, othering vulnerable groups among us, defaming them, and using unlawful means to persecute, detain, and remove them from our country. For Hitler, it was foreigners, gypsies, and Jews. For President Trump, it's people of color, new immigrants, and undocumented immigrants. Since the 2024 election, federal agencies like the DOJ, the FBI, and DHS have been transformed into enforcers of the budding dictatorship. A main way authoritarians amass power is by gaining cooperation of the existing structures of power. These 287 agreements with ICE are being used exactly for that purpose, to gain the cooperation of our Steuben County law enforcement. DHS and the ICE agencies under their control, like ICE, have now been transformed into a hyper-militarized, masked federal police force. Thousands of individuals have been detained without due process, some flown to prisons outside the U.S. against the explicit instructions of our court. Citizens like Alex Preti, Renee Good, and Maramar Martinez gunned down in the streets. The real purpose of ICE is to terrorize us into giving up our constitutional rights. In my mind, there is high potential for our good men and women of Steuben County Sheriff's Office to lose the trust of county residents when they are seen working side by side rogue ICE agents in a heavy-handed Minneapolis-style operations in our streets. Is that what we want? Legislators, did you know the New York Attorney General's office does not recommend local law enforcement agencies enter into these agreements? I urge you to follow their legal advice and terminate both 287G agreements as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thank you.
Linda Childs.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for this opportunity to speak. My name is Linda Childs, and I'm from Corning. I'm speaking because I feel it's imperative that Steuben County rescinds at least the 2025 agreement with ICE, if not both agreements currently in force. We've all seen ICE's out-of-control lawlessness and the suffering their actions have caused to both citizens and non-citizens, men and women, from babies to elderly. ICE's supposed mission is to find and deport criminal undocumented immigrants, the worst of the worst. This is just a pretext to get militarized federal agents in our streets to bully and silence us into giving in to Mr. Trump's dictatorial takeover. It has been reported that over 70% of undocumented immigrants in detention centers have no criminal record. The 2025 agreement that calls for the cooperation between Steuben County Sheriff's Office and ICE provides for training by ICE, after which the sheriffs who volunteered under either program will be under ICE's direct supervision. Our sheriffs will be part-time ICE agents while still drawing their full salaries from our Steuben County taxes. In short, we will be paying our sheriffs to work for ICE, taking time away from their typical duties protecting our local communities. The New York State Attorney General's office does not recommend that local law enforcement agencies enter into these agreements. Because of some of ICE's policies that run afoul of New York State laws. Given ICE's almost total disdain for due process, it's hard to believe that the Steuben County Sheriff's Office would want to continue in these agreements. And I believe that it's naive to think that local enforcement would still be in control when partnering with ICE. Look at Minnesota. The local authorities were not allowed to participate in or even receive information from any investigation that federal authorities might choose to conduct in the killings of American citizens by ICE thugs. Do we really want to open ourselves up to this? Once they've taken control, we'll be out in the cold. Our anonymous goons who obey no laws and don't care about human rights or even other people's very lives. Our citizenry will be attacked with impunity by anonymous goons who obey no laws and don't care about human rights or even people's very lives. Other communities have stood up and said no to these kinds of agreements, and when combined with public pressure, have succeeded in causing ICE to look elsewhere. The more states, cities, and communities resist, the less successful ICE will be nationwide. It's time to stand up and be counted before it's too late. John F. Kennedy said, "It's not if not us, who? If not now, when?" This statement emphasizes that citizens cannot wait for others, but must seize the current moment to effect change. So once again, I urge you to please rescind at least the 2025 agreement to work with ICE before it's too late. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Tom Chapman.
Good morning. I'll set your timer when you start.
Good morning. My name is Dr. Thomas Chapman. I live in Painted Post, where I also serve as the village planning board chair. I'm also asking you to terminate both 287 agreements between the sheriff's office and ICE. Two-thirds of Americans think this has gone too far. They're terrorizing communities and asserting rule by force. Steuben County officers are better than this. Three ICE agents accidentally shot themselves in the leg trying to holster their own weapons. A fourth fired a taser in an office building. You want these people to train our officers? Step one, stand in front of a running vehicle during a traffic stop. These thugs are a liability. These agreements harm public safety. I initially thought we were receiving a ton of money for doing this, but Under the statute, ICE is prohibited from covering the cost. The terms of the MOA, if you read Section 10, that we are responsible for the salaries, benefits, overtime, travel, housing, per diem, and administrative costs. It says they won't pay for copy paper, toner, handcuffs, or leg restraints. We cover all that. Is the $70 billion given to ICE not enough? You guys have a whole bunch of extra money that you want to chip in because that's not enough? Harris County, Texas sheriff terminated their agreement because it was costing $675,000 a year. Prince William County originally planned to start with $800,000, but it's going to cost them $11.3 over 5 years. And officers who engage in these agreements are liable for constitutional and legal rights violations. ICE warrants aren't issued by neutral magistrates. They're issued by ICE officers based on suspected violations. If it turns out that there's no probable cause, Fourth Amendment, the sheriff or county can be liable. Courts have held that local enforcement can be sued for detaining a person on an ICE warrant. Local governments are paying large settlements for unlawful jailing under improper ICE detainers. Local law enforcement agencies that collaborate with ICE, they lose the vital community support and they diminish their efforts to improve public safety. Community policing works when law enforcement has the trust and cooperation of their constituents. And that cooperation is eroded when communities believe they can't safely disclose criminal activity to law enforcement for fear of deportation or imprisonment, or that they may be subject to racial or ethnic profiling. We encourage law enforcement to put the needs of the local communities first and decline to participate in voluntary immigration enforcement. The people don't support this. You don't have the money. It's not working. And we don't want the liability. We don't want our officers confused about who they work with. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bruce Redding.
Good morning.
Good.
I'll start your timer.
Thank you. Bruce Redding, Caton, New York. Thank you for your time. So I support enforcing immigration law. Absolutely. But I do not support how ICE is enforcing it. Maiming peaceful protesters, sometimes permanently. An example is permanent blindness. Violently detaining U.S. citizens without due process. All done with impunity. I don't support this. I have friends on the other side of the political spectrum who are not opposed to this mayhem. They support it. My reading is that this is because they live in an alternate information universe. The protesters are paid. The protesters are violent Antifa. This isn't true, but this is what they hear. So my MAGA friends will say things like, well, just comply. They'll say FAFO. For them, the ICE behavior is justified. So for any in that information universe, I'll take a different attack or a different approach. Using ICE is just bad business. If we want to sub out our enforcement responsibilities, ICE is not a good subcontractor. They're really expensive. They do not prioritize violent offenders. To get their numbers up, they go after the easy prey, which are people who are doing good work and they're good people. Their recruits are often questionable. The training they get is poor to none. And frankly, I'm worried about the lessons that our good deputies might get from these folks. So for all of these reasons, I do not support this proposal. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Joan Rosen.
Good morning.
Morning. Good morning, members of the Steuben County Legislature. My name is Joan Rosen, and I live in the town of Corning. I'm here to urge you to terminate both 287G agreements between the Steuben County Sheriff's Office and ICE. And in order to bring you to that place where you will want to terminate the contract, because it is the right thing to do, I'd like you to hear what is happening to the detainees at the Dilley Center in Southwest Texas through their own words in letters they wrote. 12-year-old Ariana and her mother, Stephanie, were detained on December 1st when they went for one of their regular check-ins at the ICE office in New York, required as they wait for a decision on their asylum case. Ariana has lived with her family, her mother's family, in Hicksville, Long Island for 7 years. She writes, "I've been detained for 45 days, and I have never felt so much fear to go in a place. My younger siblings in Hicksville haven't been able to see their mom in more than a month," she wrote. "They are very young, and you need both of your parents when you are growing up." Then, referring to Dilley, she added, "Since I got here to this center, all I feel is sadness and mostly depression." 12-year-old Ander writes, "We arrived here for an immigration appointment. They told me I could only be here 21 days, but I have already spent more than 60 days waking up, eating the same meals, seeing people cry every day for the same reasons, trying to sleep in that horrible bed, going to wait for the bad answers from the judges, hearing the bad news from people who no longer have hope, having to share a room with minimum three families, and all they do is send us back to our own countries after this." And finally, from a 9-year-old who came from her home with her grandmother in Colombia on a tourist visa to spend a 10-day vacation in Disney World with her mother who lives in New York City. "I am Maria Antonia, and I have been 113 days in detention. I miss my friends, and I feel they are going to forget me. When I arrived at the airport, they took me to an ICE office. They interrogated me for 2 hours without my mom. Now I'm in a jail, and I'm so sad. I felt that being here was my fault, and I only wanted to be on vacation like a normal family. There's no good education here, and I miss my best friend, Julieta." These are some of the 3,800 children booked into family detention facilities between January and October of last year. These are not the criminals, the rapists, the pedophiles that ICE was supposed to keep us safe from. Do you want to be complicit in this? If we keep our contract with ICE, we are saying this is okay. Once again, I urge you to terminate both 287G agreements between the Steuben County Sheriff's Office and ICE.
Thank you.
Tim Hargrave.
Good morning. I'll set your timer.
Good morning.
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 My name is Tim Hargrave. My wife and I own a farm in the town of Cameron in Thurston. I've been up here many times in the past speaking out against, this is a little bit different topic than what we've been hearing. So speaking out against sewage sludge disposal on our farmlands. I have repeatedly asked this legislator to enact a countywide ban on sewage sludge. The message I received from this county was that the county lacked authority to override New York State DEC laws. This assertion is far from accurate. In fact, two downstate counties currently have a sewage sludge moratorium in place. Also, the Thurston Town Board courageously passed a law regulating sewage sludge disposal. I believe Thurston was the first town in New York State to successfully pass a law regulating sewage sludge. The town of Cameron soon followed with the same law. So it can be done. That's my first point. Second point is our landfill. Region 8 is a trash can of New York State. We do not need to keep expanding our landfill just to accept trash from New Jersey, New York City, and Long Island. It's time to make our landfill for Steuben County residents only. You folks were put in these chairs by your taxpayers to represent their voice. I urge you and I challenge you to reach out to the town boards that you represent. I'd be willing to bet the overwhelming majority do not want sewage sludge dumped on our farmlands or downstate trash dumped in our landfill. It's time to ban sewage sludge in Steuben County and make our landfill for Steuben County trash only. On a different note, how much time do I have, Kelly?
45 seconds.
Perfect. As a patriot and a veteran of two branches of the military, I'll go on record and say I fully support the enforcement of our immigration laws when it comes to illegal aliens. A lot of folks have mentioned that we're a nation of laws and we need to enforce the laws, and that is absolutely true. If your first step in this country is illegal, you need to be deported, plain and simple. If you want to do it right and coming through the right channels, we'll welcome you. But if you don't, you're a slap in the face to every military person out there that's ever fought for this country. Thank you.
Thank you. Your timing was perfect. All right. There is a small change to the agenda. The youth interns were not able to come today because of the one of the districts did a 2-hour delay because of the weather. So we will have them introduced at another meeting, provided that that can be arranged. Next on the agenda, I want to introduce Dr. Terrence Finley from Corning Community College to give us a brief presentation regarding the college. Welcome to our meeting.
Good morning. I'd actually like to introduce some of my colleagues I have with me as well. I have our distinguished administrator in charge, Kim Frock, with us, and our exceptional vice president for student development and enrollment management, Mari Clay, with us as well. As I start this morning, I want to start by saying, first of all, once again, my name is Terrence Finley, and I have the honor and pleasure of serving Corning Community College as its president. I've been on board for about 45 days. And it's been an outstanding 45 days. And I actually look forward to working with each of you as we move forward. And I'd like to start by once again thanking all of you for your support, your sponsorship, and your advocacy. For today, next slide, please. One more. We'd like to actually just start by actually giving just a brief overview of the programs we have at Corning Community College. Then actually have a quick discussion in regards to the changing landscape of higher education. Then actually talk about our exceptional SUNY Reconnect program. And then we'll actually kind of round things up by actually letting you guys hear from our students directly. Next slide, please. In terms of our programs, we have actually 15 degree programs targeted at our transfer students. We actually have 10 programs targeted at workforce preparation students. And we actually have 5 certificate programs, and then, of course, 17 micro-credential programs ranging from accounting to applied electronics. Next slide, please. Just quickly in regard to percentages, in regard to how we're actually enrolled, our students are enrolled, we have approximately 40% of our students enrolled in arts and human behavior programs, and then 21% actually enrolled in education, social services, and law enforcement-related programs, and then closely followed by approximately 19% in the STEM areas. Next slide, please. Workforce education, once again, as you can see, with us having micro-credentials and certificates, is a big piece of what we do. We actually offer, if you look at the last bullet there, about 18 service-related trainings, ranging from trainings in drone training, auto tech, financial services, healthcare, public safety, and welding. Next slide, please. And here I thought was actually very interesting, and I'll call your attention to the pie chart on the right. About 75% of the corporate training that we actually provide at Corning Community College falls within the realm of manufacturing and healthcare and social assistance. That being said, I'll ask Ms. Frock to come up and give us a quick update in regard to the changing landscape of higher education.
Could you go to the next slide, please? I'm Kim Frock, and I served as the interim administrator in charge at the college for from June through December until Dr. Finley arrived in January. I've spent the last 25 years in education and served as the administrator in charge, and also I'm now the executive head of school at the Alternative School for Math and Science. And so my educational experience goes from middle school through community college now. One of the things that has been happening over the last really 20 years, but has really accelerated in the last, say, 5 to 10, is that the educational landscape has changed pretty dramatically. And so I want to just explain some of the challenges that the community college is actually facing now. And it's not just CCC, but it's community colleges around the country and certainly across New York State. So there is an enormous increase in online education, literally thousands of online programs now. So you don't have to actually go to college to get an associate's degree or even a bachelor's degree anymore. And so it's led to a dramatic decrease in the number of students enrolled in community colleges across the country. Many students now, because they're working or they have different situations, they take classes online, which as an educator is not the optimal way to learn, but it is what it is. We also have a declining number of students in our population, K through 12 in our public schools. And so the traditional students going to Corning Community College has actually declined. Our school populations are decreasing. At the same time, we have an increasing number of high school students who are taking Corning Community Colleges in their high schools. And they can earn many, many credits for college credits that they can use at any SUNY institution. And so there are a lot of students now, and this is really being supported by SUNY and New York State Education, is that they can get, some of them, 2 years worth of college credits in high school that they're earning through CCC courses, and then they bypass CCC altogether. They go right from high school to being a sophomore or a junior in college at a SUNY institution. And so that's changing, you know, what life looks like for CCC. And then the other thing that I want to talk about is the decline in preparedness of the students that the college is actually seeing. It's not a surprise to me because I've been looking at this data for a couple of decades now, but 1 in 3 eighth grade students in the United States, and it's no different here, meets standards in math and English. 1 in 3. 1/3 of our eighth graders are ready to go to high school and do high school level work. And the U.S. Department of Education now says 1 in 4 high school seniors is ready to do college level math. So a lot of the students that CCC is seeing enrolled, they're not ready to do the work that CCC, the classwork, the coursework that CCC has traditionally offered to its first year students. And so there's just an awful lot going on, a lot of moving pieces, and trying to figure out how to actually react to all of those. We also have seen a significant increase in the percentage of students who are adult learners, who have been out of school for a decade or 15 years. And what they need is very, very different than what students coming right out of high school need. So a lot of changes, a lot of things that the college is trying to do to react to all of those things. And so it just looks very different. At CCC, we've seen since between 2019 and 2023, a 40% decline in enrollment on campus and a very significant increase in the number of students who are taking our classes while they're still in high school. So it's very different. So that's sort of the change in landscape, and it's happening everywhere.
A quick question, may I?
Yes, you may.
In the previous slide, I'm a bigger part. What does FTE stand for?
Full-time equivalent.
Thank you.
Yes. And that is directly tied to how much funding the college gets.
Great, thanks.
Okay. In particular, how much funding the county gives to the college. 30 credits is an FTE. So I'm going to talk a little bit more specifically about some of the numbers and the relation to Steuben County in particular. So as you can see here, with the number of students that Kim was referring to that are enrolled from Steuben County, we have around 800 students that we served in the last academic year. This academic year not being over, we'll have our next number soon. And so it's really a great benefit to the county in terms of headcount of students and total numbers of credits. And you can see that in the other column. Next slide. So we've entered into a contract with the New York State Department of Labor in this past year, which allows us to request data on specifically where our students and former students are employed. This is a wonderful data point that we can then use for multiple purposes. And I'd like to celebrate some of them with you. As we see in the last 5 years, current grads and students are employed at the level of 96 headcount at Corning Guthrie Hospital, 75 Corning Inc., 59 Pathways, AIM, Corning Federal Credit Union, and the list goes on. So really central employers and services that are provided in our area. About 36% of the students at the college are from Steuben County. Slightly larger from Chemung, being a slightly more populous county. That would be 43%. But Steuben is second. And of course, the college is located in Steuben County. Next slide. So thinking about where the students go who transfer, as Dr. Finley mentioned, we have career programs which intend to have students employed after a two-year degree, and transfer programs that prepare students for transfer at 4 years. So we have about 1,200 students from Steuben County transferring to 4-year institutions. And the good thing about that, 1184, not everyone who transfers finishes or stays in at the transfer university to complete that bachelor's degree, which is a very large benefit for future potential earnings. You can see the various fields that they're studying in, improving our employee work base for manufacturers, healthcare related services, and certainly businesses and social services. Next slide. So the places that recent grads transfer to, you can see some that you would expect. From the university centers, University of Buffalo, Binghamton, to state schools, Alfred State, Penn State, broader colleges include SUNY Albany, University of Rochester, and even Cornell for some of our numbers. Next slide. About the impact of ACE, which is the name of our concurrent enrollment program. So you can see that over the years, ACE FTE has increased from 826 to 937, while campus headcount has decreased. So again, we want students to participate in concurrent enrollment. And I'm going to talk next about some changes that the college has implemented to try to make that fiscally sustainable. So these are the various schools that have the ACE concurrent enrollment program: Corning Payne and Post, naturally, Hammondsport, Bath, Hornell, Jasper Troopsburg, Prattsburg, Wayland Cohocton. So the value of these credits that students have earned is $5.1 million. Over the past 5 years, the college has been fortunate to be able to scholarship that tuition for those students. We cannot continue that in a sustainable program at this time. So we are returning to the pre-fall 2019 tuition charge of one-third of the campus tuition for our ACE program. Next slide, please. The state recognizes the value of concurrent enrollment and has committed to helping support the cost of that for our school districts. So GST BOCES and, well, Wayland-Cohocton, the Genesee Valley BOCES, they are participating in a COSER that provides aid to schools for costs of concurrent enrollment. This is a new COSER beginning last year. But the main thing is that school districts can submit their costs for not only the tuition for students, but also teachers, supplies, lab equipment, and anything related to concurrent enrollment to the state. BOCES acts as a pass-through for that.
One of the legislators had a question. Yeah. Mr. Thu?
Yeah, so you're returning to the one-third. What is it? What was it currently? What is it currently?
Zero.
Zero. I thought there was usually some sort of nominal fee that went with receiving credit. There's nothing currently?
There is not.
Okay. Because I do think this program and this route is important. I actually went to my undergrad with almost 60 college credits, so that was very helpful. So I want to make sure we can encourage that.
When my son got ACE credits, it was earlier than 2019, and we had to pay for part of the credit. And I think most parents, including myself, was happy to do so.
Right.
So it's not a bad idea for you to be considering putting the charge back in place. Sorry to have interrupted. Go ahead.
No, I think that's an excellent point. Right now, we're at the point where school districts are deciding with regard to their budget and their participation in the COSER, whether the school district will cover the costs or whether the costs will be passed on to students as they had been in the past when there was no COSER. So I wanted to share that with you as a latest development. Next slide, please. So again, for business managers of school districts, the costs that can be included are listed on this slide, but these costs have not been reimbursed by any other mechanism before the costs above the student tuition. And so actually the school districts will be able to take costs that they will submit for state aid that they have not been able to do before, specifically teacher costs, which are the highest for the percentage that the teacher teaches concurrent enrollment courses in their school year. And so moving straight from a population of concurrent enrollment to our next slide, which is SUNY Reconnect, adult learners. As Kim mentioned, we serve a variety of different audiences at the college, and the state has come out with a great program, SUNY Reconnect, that's been widely publicized by both SUNY and the college, that has free tuition for adults 25 to 55 in programs that are employment needs in our state. And so you can see those programs there, technologies, healthcare. And these are the specific programs for the college, those supporting healthcare and advanced manufacturing. The funding includes tuition, fees, books, and supplies. And for many, that means a laptop computer, which is often an essential supply this day and age in higher ed. Next slide. So the Reconnect award amounts, that's really hard to read from here, for me anyway. But in any event, this is a last dollar scholarship on the part of the state. And so that cost to the state totally for the fall, just so you can see some of the numbers behind the program. Basically, for 93 students, it cost $200,000 to cover them last dollar in these programs, which is quite a bargain, really. Many students get financial aid from federal or other state funds, such as TAP, that covers their tuition fully before ReConnect. But ReConnect covers for those who it doesn't make up the entire cost. ReConnect is not financial status impacted. It's last dollar, no matter what. Next slide. Totally different topic. And I really want to extend a special thanks to Stacey Houseworth on this note. Certificates of residency. We have had a large challenge at the college processing paper forms, which are signed in the high school, come to the college, then are delivered on to the county clerk. And the county has worked with us through Stacy to improve this process. And thank you so much. It's really a huge benefit. And that is something that is much appreciated and probably saves time on the county's part as well. So thank you. Next slide. And thank you to all of you for the funding from the county. And that is the FTE chargeback, circling back to the earlier question about FTE. Thank you for your support of the college. And now we'd like to share some words from our students of thanks. And the next slide, I think, has the link to the video. And with that, I'll pass it back over to Dr. Finley to wrap up after the video.
I had taken some ACE classes here, so it was really new. And I had interacted with some of the professors, and so it was comfortable. So it was supposed to learn, but learning comfortable.
I previously attended CCC directly out of high school and couldn't finish. I had things going on in my life, but I went, got work experience, and when I knew that I needed to go back for college, I knew CCC was first on my list. I loved my experience there, just wasn't the right time, and now it is.
I chose to attend CCC 1 because I have a very persuasive mother who works here at CCC, and it is close to home.
I chose to attend CCC because I heard from other people how supportive the system is here, and I think that's what I really needed. I needed a strong support system in order to reach my goals.
I believe it is a student-focused school, meaning that your professors and your teachers are all here to really get you to the end goal. It is not, you know, eat your young kind of situation. Everyone supports you and wants you to succeed. So
it's affordable. And if I can pull through, you can pull through. As you can see, I'm not young. I'm not in my 20s, but I could, I'm doing this. So you can do it too.
Doesn't matter how old you are. I'm 38, almost 39. And I was able to work, be a mom, be a wife, and do schooling. And Corning kind of made that happen because they helped work around the schedules. They helped work around being a mom. I didn't have to toss that to the side and just focus on my schoolwork. I was able to do everything and still manage to pull through.
As you can see, your support and continued sponsorship are making our students' futures and dreams come to fruition. So once again, on behalf of our faculty, staff, and most importantly, our students, I want to thank you for all you've done. And I actually want to thank you for all you will do in the future to continue the support of Corning Community College. So thank you all. And Madam Chair, I'll take any questions that you may have.
Does anyone have any questions or comments? How many people in this room, all of us, the legislators included, please raise your hand if you are a Corning Community College alumni. The impact that the college has made on this community and lives will touch us for many, many generations, and we want to continue to be a part of that. So thank you.
Thank you all very much.
All right, let's keep moving along. We have a presentation by Michael Hopkins from the Finger Lakes SPCA. Thank you, Michael.
Yes, I'm Michael Hopkins, the executive director at the Finger Lakes SPCA here in Bath. I currently live in Hornell, but I'm Steuben County born and bred. I'm really happy that you all are considering a local law to establish an animal cruelty registry. I don't think I need to tell you, we are in something of a crisis in Steuben County when it comes to animal cruelty. Last year, Finger Lakes SPCA participated in animal cruelty or rescue cases 22 times. That's twice the number we did in 2024. We took in 128 animals from those 22 cases. And those cases don't include any that came through Hornell Humane or through local dog control officers. The proposed law before you is not the entire answer to the problem, but it is an important tool that we desperately need. This is especially true when other counties near us have enacted this sort of registry, like Allegheny County has just done, that allows us be able to check across borders, check people who come and make sure they're not on a registry in another county. Another reason to support this is simply to protect the animals in this county and help to spread the word that animal cruelty will not be tolerated here. I'm in the tail end of a cold and I'm having trouble with my throat. I brought a little piece that we're handing around these days called Stop Animal Cruelty. And it explains that animal cruelty is not just about physical harm to an animal, but involves many other things. And all of those things, according to New York State law. While I'm here, I want to also say that one of the positive aspects of the cruelty cases that are going on is that it's bringing Finger Lakes SPCA and other animal rescues in a much better working relationship with law enforcement on all levels. I want to thank the county manager and Sheriff Allard and his deputies for being part of that productive relationship. And we'll soon be reaching out to the Department of Social Services to figure out how we can better work with them, as they often see problems before anyone else does. I have this handout that we'll be working with them with as well. The more educated we are about these, the better off our animals will be in this county. Thank you for hearing me and for considering this law.
Hand them right to Nick and he'll bring them up and we'll pass them out. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I do also have a letter from the Hornell Humane Society. They were not able to attend the meeting. To whom it may concern, on behalf of the Hornell Area Humane Society, we are pleased to support the proposed animal abuser registry law. As the proposal states, animal cruelty is a serious concern for Steuben County. Hornell Area Humane Society is involved in three separate cruelty cases ongoing at this moment alone. We feel that the animal abuser registry law will add another crucial piece of accountability for abusers and play an important role in limiting their access to animals. As a shelter, we would be incredibly appreciative of having this registry to reference when assessing potential adopters within Steuben County. We also agree and feel it is key that no person who is registered or required to register pursuant to Section 5 of this local law shall own, possess, reside with, have custody of, or intentionally engage in any physical contact with any companion animal or pet. We are appreciative of the lawmakers that have played a role in this proposal, and we appreciate everyone's time addressing this matter. Thank you. Signed by Executive Director Alexandra Howard. All right, let's keep moving on. Let's have the clerk read the public notice for public hearing.
Notice is hereby given that a public hearing will be held by the County Legislature of the County of Steuben at the Legislative Chambers on the 23rd day of February for the purpose of hearing public comments on Steuben County's Community Development Block Grant Project, Steuben County Well and Septic Replacement Program, in the amount of $198,000. All interested parties are invited to attend and be heard.
Would any members of the public like to speak on this public notice? Seeing none, I call the public hearing closed. All right, let's move on. Adoption of the minutes.
So move.
Okay. Are there any questions or comments? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Minutes are carried. Any reports of standing committees? Reports of special committees? Reports of county officers? Any announcements? I would just like to announce that we did receive a thank you card from the Wheeler family for the memorial tree donation in honor of their mom. So if anyone would like to read that, please see me after the meeting. All right, let's move on to general orders of the day for members of the public that are here. These items have been vetted through committee, and so you won't see a lot of debate on these items, but there is the opportunity for legislators to ask questions if they so choose. Would the clerk please read Resolution 1?
Presented by Ms. Fitzpatrick, receiving and accepting the February 23rd, 2026 communications log as prepared by the Steuben County Manager's Office.
Second, Honor.
Are there any questions? This is by acclamation. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution 1 carries. Will the clerk please read Resolution 2?
Introduced by Mr. Horton. Presenting local law tentatively number 1 for the year 2026, establishing a registry for animal abusers.
Second.
Are there any questions? Mr. Thu.
Yeah, I have two amendments that I'd like to see done. The first one's simply changing one word. Section 2 of the definitions A says a violation of any of the following. Previously, it says a conviction. So I think to be consistent, it should say conviction of any of the following. Tim, if you think it's fine, then I'll be okay with it. And then the other thing that I think should be added here is since we are requiring individuals to register, we ought to have something in place so that the judges, if once there's a conviction, basically hands and says, here, you got to register some sort of form to be, because we don't want to give the judges any more work than they already have. So the judges have similar stuff for like the driver diversion. So there should be some sort of form that's circulated to the judges within the county.
Right. We'll have some background work we'll need to do. This is just the presentation. We don't pass this technically until next month. So there will be some work that needs to be done.
So I think those two things, as long as they're addressed, I'm fine with what's here.
Mrs. Logsdon.
I was curious with the section 3 for the registry. It's claiming that it's going to have the residents' information, but wouldn't that be a violation of the Megan's Law? Because there's only an exemption for personal information if they're a convicted sex offender. So would it be a violation of the privacy law, such as the Privacy Act of 1974?
I haven't seen that yet, but I'll take a look at it. But if you look at all the other registries in the state, they're having addresses and place they work. It's sort of amazing, but we'll make sure that it's not a violation.
And then about section 4, for the prosecuting agencies, who's it going to be? Will it be the court, the law enforcement, DA's office? Who does it?
The prosecuting agency will be the district attorney's office will prosecute the crime to a obtain the conviction. If they're convicted under that statute, then they will be required to register.
And then in section 7C, it's saying that if you knowingly violate it, you're violating section 7, but section 7 is the penalties. Wouldn't it be section 6?
I'll look at it.
And then with the fine, the first conviction, they get nothing. The second conviction, they're going to get $5,000. So in reality, you're convicting someone but not doing anything.
It's an up to. It's not your $5,000.
That would be like getting a speeding ticket and you get guilty, but you don't get a fine or anything.
You have the power to impose whatever penalty you feel is appropriate for the statute.
Shouldn't you put it more like up to 1,000 for the first offense and 5,000 for the second offense?
It can be anything you legislators decide is appropriate.
I agree.
I thought there was money on it.
So should we?
Is there money on the
section A? Anyone who fails to register, that's up to 2,000. First violation, shall not be subject.
It depends.
So if you have an animal, your name is on the registry and you violate, so they're saying that the first offense, there is no penalty. That doesn't seem right.
Right.
So should we table this then and then make these adjustments and bring it back?
Are we able to make any adjustments to it, or do we have to do that in committee?
You can make them on the floor. It sounds like they might be more exhaustive than.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So probably should go back to committee.
Make a motion to table it so we can make these adjustments and then.
So we have a motion and a second to table until we make some corrections. Yep. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Carries. So that is tabled, but we will work on it in March. Jeff?
I'd just like to ask everyone that had those comments if they could send out the public safety and to Tim so that, you know, he can look into them so that, you know, anything that just got mentioned today doesn't get forgot about or lost.
Yeah.
So that we'll have to re-present at the end of March, and then we won't get this passed until the end of April.
Right.
But it's definitely very high on my priority list to get this moving right forward. So thank you for that review. Thank you for those comments. All right. Will the clerk please read Resolution 3?
Mm-hmm. Introduced by Mr. Pelham, waiving the established tip fees for roadside cleanup weeks for local municipalities.
Are there any questions or comments? Seeing none, will the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Hsu?
Yes.
Ms. Shannon?
Yes.
Mr. Thu?
Yes.
Mr. Tobia?
Yes.
Mr. Van Castle?
Yes.
Mr. Vanetten?
Yes.
Mr. Valino?
Yes.
Mr. Warner?
Yes.
Mr. Eberlin?
Yes.
Ms. Fitzpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Hanna?
Yes.
Mr. Horton?
Yes.
Mrs. Logston?
Yes.
Mr. Nichols?
Yes.
Mr. Pelham?
Yes.
Mr. Potter?
Yes.
Resolution 3 carries. Will the clerk please read Resolution 4?
Introduced by Mr. Pelham, authorizing a tire amnesty week and establishing an event recycle fee.
Second, Fu.
Are there any questions or comments? Seeing none, will the clerk please call the roll?
Ms. Shannon?
Yes.
Mr. Thu?
Yes.
Mr. Tobia?
Yes.
Mr. Van Castle?
Yes.
Mr. Vanetten?
Yes.
Mr. Valino?
Yes.
Mr. Warner?
Yes.
Mr. Eberlin?
Yes.
Ms. Fitzpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Hanna?
Yes.
Mr. Horton?
Yes.
Mrs. Logston?
Yes.
Mr. Nichols?
Yes.
Mr. Pelham?
Yes.
Mr. Potter?
Yes.
Mr. Hsu?
Yes.
Resolution 4 carries. Will the clerk please read Resolution 5?
Introduced by Mr. Pelham and Mr. Vanetten, authorizing and directing the Commissioner of Finance to close Public Works Smith Hill Bridge Capital Project and transfer proceeds to Public Works Future Bridge Capital Project.
Second, Nichols.
Are there any questions or comments? Seeing none, will the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Thu?
Yes.
Mr. Tobia?
Yes.
Mr. Van Castle?
Yes.
Mr. Vanetten?
Yes.
Mr. Valino?
Yes.
Mr. Warner?
Yes.
Mr. Eberlin?
Yes.
Ms. Fitzpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Hanna?
Yes.
Mr. Horton?
Yes.
Mrs. Not here. Mrs. Logston?
Yes.
Mr. Nichols?
Yes.
Mr. Pelham?
Yes.
Mr. Potter?
Yes.
Mr. Hsu? Ms. Shannon?
Yes. Resolution 5 carries. Will the clerk please read Resolution 6?
Introduced by Mr. Pelham and Mr. Vanetten, authorizing and directing the Commissioner of Finance to transfer funds from various public works capital projects to public works spill prevention control capital projects.
Second, Potter.
Are there any questions or comments? Seeing none, will the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Tobia?
Yes.
Mr. Van Castle?
Yes.
Mr. Vanetten?
Yes.
Mr. Valino?
Yes.
Mr. Warner?
Yes.
Mr. Eberlin?
Yes.
Ms. Fitzpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Hanna?
Yes.
Mr. Horton?
Yes.
Mrs. Logston?
Yes.
Mr. Nichols?
Yes.
Mr. Pelham?
Yes.
Mr. Potter?
Yes.
Mr. Hsu?
Yes.
Ms. Shannon?
Yes.
Mr. Thu?
Yes.
Resolution 6 carries. Will the clerk please read Resolution 7?
Introduced by Mr. Pelham and Mr. Van Etten, authorizing and directing the Commissioner of Finance to transfer funds from 2025 road project funds to road improvement unassigned.
Second, Tobia.
Are there any questions or comments? Seeing none, would the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Van Castle?
Yes.
Mr. Van Etten?
Yes.
Mr. Valino?
Yes.
Mr. Warner?
Yes.
Mr. Eberlin?
Yes.
Ms. Fitzpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Hanna?
Yes.
Mr. Horton?
Yes.
Mrs. Logson?
Yes.
Mr. Nichols?
Yes.
Mr. Pelham?
Yes.
Mr. Potter?
Yes.
Mr. Shue? Ms. Shannon?
Yes.
Mr. Thu?
Yes.
Mr. Tobiak?
Yes.
Resolution 7 carries. Will the clerk please read Resolution 8?
Introduced by Mr. Tobia and Mr. Van Etten, authorizing and directing the Commissioner of Finance to transfer unused 2025 opioid settlement funds to Casa Trinity Air Program for 2026.
I need a second.
Second.
Thank you. Are there any questions or comments? Seeing none, will the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Van Etten?
Yes.
Mr. Valino?
Yes.
Mr. Warner?
Yes.
Mr. Eberlin?
Yes.
Ms. Fitzpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Hanna?
Yes.
Mr. Horton? Mrs. Logson? Mr. Nichols?
Yes.
Mr. Pelham?
Yes.
Mr. Potter?
Yes.
Mr. Shue?
Yes.
Ms. Shannon?
Yes.
Mr. Thu?
Yes.
Mr. Tobia?
Yes.
Mr. Van Castle?
Yes.
Resolution 8 carries. Will the clerk please read Resolution 9?
Introduced by Mr. Tobia and Mr. Van Etten, authorizing the appropriation of opioid settlement funds to the Casa Trinity Air Program.
Second, Thu.
Are there any questions or comments? Seeing none, will the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Valino?
Yes.
Mr. Warner?
Yes.
Mr. Eberlin?
Yes.
Ms. Fitzpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Hanna?
Yes.
Mr. Horton?
Yes.
Mrs. Logson?
Yes.
Mr. Nichols?
Yes.
Mr. Pelham?
Yes.
Mr. Potter?
Yes.
Mr. Shue? Ms. Shannon?
Yes.
Mr. Thu?
Yes.
Mr. Tobia?
Yes.
Mr. Van Castle?
Yes.
Mr. Van Etten?
Yes.
Resolution 9 carries. Will the clerk please read Resolution 10?
Introduced by Mr. Thu and Mr. Van Etten, authorizing a transfer from the undistributed fringe line to the assigned council program.
Second, Tobia.
Are there any questions or comments? Seeing none, will the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Warner?
Yes.
Mr. Eberlin?
Yes.
Ms. Fitzpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Hanna?
Yes.
Mr. Horton? Mrs. Logston?
Yes.
Mr. Nichols?
Yes.
Mr. Pelham?
Yes.
Mr. Potter?
Yes.
Mr. Shue?
Yes.
Ms. Shannon?
Yes.
Mr. Thu?
Yes.
Mr. Tobia?
Yes.
Mr. Van Castle?
Yes.
Mr. Van Etten?
Yes.
Mr. Valino?
Yes.
Carries.
Resolution 10 carries. Will the clerk please read Resolution 11?
Introduced by Mr. Tobia and Mr. Van Etten, accepting and appropriating the New York State Shelter Arrears Eviction Forestallment Program Allocation.
Second.
Are there any questions or comments? Seeing none, will the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Eberlin?
Yes.
Ms. Fitzpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Hanna?
Yes.
Mr. Horton?
Yes.
Mrs. Logson?
Yes.
Mr. Nichols?
Yes.
Mr. Pelham?
Yes.
Mr. Potter?
Yes.
Mr. Shue?
Yes.
Ms. Shannon?
Yes.
Mr. Thu?
Yes.
Mr. Tobia?
Yes.
Mr. Van Castle?
Yes.
Mr. Van Etten?
Yes.
Mr. Valino?
Yes.
Mr. Warner?
Yes.
Carries.
Resolution 11 carries. Will the clerk please read Resolution 12?
Introduced by Mr. Pelham, authorizing an agreement with CNS Engineers, Inc. for construction inspection services.
Second, Potter.
Are there any questions or comments? Seeing none, will the clerk please call the roll?
Ms. Fitzpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Hanna?
Yes.
Mr. Horton?
Yes.
Mrs. Logston?
Yes.
Mr. Nichols?
Yes.
Mr. Pelham?
Yes.
Mr. Potter?
Yes.
Mr. Shue?
Yes.
Ms. Shannon?
Yes.
Mr. Thu?
Yes.
Mr. Tobia?
Yes.
Mr. Van Castle?
Yes.
Mr. Van Etten?
Yes.
Mr. Valino?
Yes.
Mr. Warner?
Yes.
Mr. Eberlin?
Yes.
Resolution 12 carries. All right, waiting for you, buddy.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how to do this. I guess if we have no objections, I'd make a motion to combine 13 through 21, which are all appointments. And then 23 and 24 as well. We'll do 22 separately since that's a filling a vacancy.
I'll second that.
Make the motion.
And
to waive the reading.
And the waive.
And to waive the reading. That's a good.
The filling the vacancy is an appointment, technically. The title's a little different, so you could bucket them all if you choose.
Would you like to amend your?
Yeah, we can combine them all. That's okay.
So, and it's okay with the second. Yes.
Second.
13 through 24.
Yes.
Correct.
Thank you.
Are all in favor of combining those?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. So we are combining appointments 13 through 24, and we are waiving the reading. This is also by acclamation. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
I do have to abstain on 16 because I believe I'm on that board. So for what that's worth.
16?
Okay.
Are you on the ethics board?
I thought you said I was.
No.
No.
One of them. I'm on one of them, right?
Yeah, he's on one of them.
You're on one of them, so you abstain from whichever one. Resolutions 13 through 24, Carrie. Thank you. Do you have anything else?
Not for open session.
Okay.
Do have a need for executive session relative to two matters, one litigation, two collective bargaining.
All right. Does anyone else have any business they would like to bring before the legislature?
I would. I have a question.
Mr. Tobia.
Our governor, Governor Hochul, has proposed a resolution that would make it illegal for ICE to go into an agreement with our local police agencies. I have a feeling that bill is going to pass. I don't know. If it doesn't, nothing changes. But if it does, if that bill is passed, where she has made it illegal for any of our local police agencies to sign in with any agreement with ICE, that agreement we signed on June 23rd, would it make it void?
Wait, I've got something.
Well, let Attorney Roselle answer the question first.
You're going to have to see the language of the Hochul bill. If she retroactively enforces it or some of the language will make a determination as to whether it is or isn't. Plus, consider that she's overriding your home rule, but we'll address that as it gets here. But
so basically
her statute.
So let's wait till the wording comes out and to see if we need to null and void the agreement we had on June 23rd. Okay, good.
Legislator right. Shannon.
This could be a sticky situation in reading the bill, although it's not a done deal yet. That was a stipulation for all new partnerships, and it did not include those that are already.
It's pre-existing,
right. So we could be grandfathered in. There could be. If we're already existing.
So basically,
it just depends on the language of the bill. And
so the bill could start and anything prior to that stays the same. Okay.
All right. Anything else to bring before the legislature in open session?
Motion going into executive.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Aye. We are in executive session. I might.
No, I'm on one of these committees.
Second.
Aye.
All right. We are.
And I'll make the motion to approve the resolution for the lawsuit.
Second, that affirmation.
Roll call.
All right, will the clerk please call the roll? Mr. Hannah.
Yes.
Mr. Horton.
Yes.
Love. He's
gone.
Mr. Nichols?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Shue?
Yes.
Ms. Shannon?
Yes.
Mr. Thu?
Yes.
Mr. Tobia?
Yes.
Mr. Van Castle?
Yes.
Mr. Benetton?
Yes.
Mr. Delano?
Yes.
Mr. Warner?
Yes.
Mr. Everland?
Yes.
Ms. Fitzpatrick.
Yes. The resolution carries.
Motion adjourned. Same vote.
Opposed. All right.
Did you just get me?
There we go. I think I got it by a whisper.